Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As President-elect Joe Biden prepares to transition to the White House, we're looking closer at the data of the election, something Democrats in particular might want to pay attention to. It's early days, but it's showing a shifting political divide. It seems to be showing a polarization of place, but a depolarization of race. Let's explain that with Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us every Monday. So, Derek, start with the explanation. Depolarization of race. You're talking about Black and Latino voters. With the caveat, Latino voters are not a monolith, but what are you and others seeing?
So Democrats have historically won about 90% of the Black vote and about 60 to 70% of the Latino vote. And as you said, it is, you know, race, ethnicity, these are sometimes constructs that demographers or anybody else uses to group people who shouldn't necessarily be grouped. But for the purposes of this conversation, we're talking about two groups of non-white voters that Democrats have historically won. But initial returns suggest that Joe Biden might have actually lost ground among these non-white voters. The most obvious drift is in Florida, where Biden rather famously at this point underperformed in heavily Latino counties like Miami-Dade. This is true really across the Southeast. Majority precincts in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina seem to have swung toward Republicans. And in Southern Texas, we saw the same thing. Trump outperforming his 2016 returns in heavily Latino counties in the Rio Grande Valley. So you see really across the country, and most importantly across the South in these Southern swing states, the Latino vote rather surprisingly swing toward Donald Trump, while at the same time, a lot of white Americans living in inner suburbs voted for Joe Biden at a much higher clip than they voted for Hillary Clinton. So what you essentially saw here is non-white voters and white voters move a little bit more toward the middle. That is the depolarization of race that I discussed in my piece and that you just alluded to.
Well, and we should say that many Latinos who came from countries where socialism is a bad word responded to that. There's that. Mm. But these are, you know, these are trends, as you say. These are, this is not just this election. Something that jumped out of me, you quote the pollster David Shore, who said, I think it was absolutely clear in 2018 that non-white voters were trending Republican, and we're seeing this in 2020 polling. There's no denial about this fact. Non-white voters trending Republican.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting, and I think a little bit counterintuitive, because I think a lot of people are holding on to a narrative that is eroding a little bit. And that narrative is that, you know, Republicans win white voters and Democrats' base is among non-white voters. Now, to a certain extent, that is true. I mean, Democrats are going to win in this cycle probably somewhere between 85 and 90% of Black voters. That is an enormous margin. But at the same time, it's shifting a little bit toward Republicans. And I think that's an important thing to focus on. It suggests that we shouldn't necessarily think of these categories as monoliths that are going to vote the way they voted in 2008 forever. You're going to see shifts at the margins, and those shifts at the margins can determine who wins and loses the Senate, the Congress, and the White House.
Well, that brings us to polarization of place. This is the urban-rural divide, longtime trend. And you're saying Wisconsin is a good example of what's happening in that category in 2020. Why?
Yeah, the upshot here is basically that rural areas are racing toward the Republican Party while metro areas are moving to the left toward the Democratic Party. And Wisconsin offers just a fascinating example of this. So you go back to the beginning of the century in 2000. Al Gore won the largest county in Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, by about 20 percentage points. He got creamed in the white, wealthy suburbs of Milwaukee. And then he eked out a victory in rural areas like Pepin County, the birthplace of Laura Ingalls Wilder, the author of Little House on the Prairie. Meanwhile, Biden did much better than Gore in Milwaukee. He doubled the margin from 20 to 40 points. He actually narrowed the gap in Waukesha as college-educated whites moved toward the Democratic Party. But then Trump cleaned up in rural counties, which made the vote again so narrow. So what's so fascinating about Wisconsin is that this is a state that has been decided by less than one percentage point four times in the last six elections. But the distribution of votes has changed immensely within that period, with Democrats now basically controlling metro areas and Republicans doing really, really well in rural areas. That is the polarization of place.
Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, we just say you also conclude, not a bad thing that one party that is seen as demonizing people of color may be shifting. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.